Yeah.
Hey, look who's here.
Well,
I've had some other stuff going on and then got turned around, so I apologize.
We make it as difficult as we can to find us.
It's fairness, Jay so. Paterno. Good to have you back.
Good morning, to be here.
I was gonna say, you were just here a few weeks ago.
Seems like it, yeah.
Anyway.
Seems like it. So lots going on, obviously.
Oh, you think? All right. We're going to go a little bit, then we're going to take a break. So we asked Jay to come back on because, Jay, again, you're a Penn State trustee. All right. And there was lots of fun last week. Here's my opening question, because this was not made public. I figure you know. That little online gig, which was last Thursday.
Yeah.
How many people tuned in? Somebody knows.
I don't know. I can find out. But it was more than normal. I know that. I mean, there was a lot of people. But to take a vote like that online in a Zoom meeting, don't get me started. I mean, everybody talked. So many people talk about this, tough decision, the courage it takes to make this vote, whatever. Well, then do it in public. Do it in person. There were people in the room. Voting on Zoom is not courageous.
So you've not, I'm no trustees expert. Yeah. You've not done that before, vote online? Or does that happen
other times? Oh, yeah, well, but certainly not something this big. I mean, this is a massive, that was a massive decision we made last week.
Even above and beyond that, Jay, can you take us through the process a little bit? Because my understanding, and clarify, because I'm not sure I'm understanding it properly, but did you guys, meaning the Board of Trustees, did you know that ultimately you were going to be making the decision? Like, at what point did you know? Okay, yes, because it seems like...
this thing ping-ponged all over the place.
Well, at least as I'm reading through, and again, I'm reading this from afar, but it seemed like this was pretty much just going to be an administration decision, which I railed about a little bit on here. I'm like, this doesn't seem like something that the administration should just do on its own, that there should be at least the board consideration of this. But it seemed like that was not originally the plan, or was it, and it just wasn't being reported accurately. And then my follow-up to that is, regardless of whether you think ultimately the decision here is a good one or the right one for the university, I do think there are some serious questions about the process, including the amount of time that the board had to peruse the report that was given to you. I'll let you answer however you want there.
When's the next commercial break? The Commonwealth campus had been discussion for a while. We've all seen the demographics. We've all known numbers. So about 18 months ago or so, there was a process initiated that was going to be what they called the Future States Initiative. Okay. So there were three steps to that process. One was to gather the information and the data and the demographics, talk about the challenge, and then phase two was to look at the challenges that we face. And then phase three was going to be, let's come up with innovative solutions. Let's get business people at the Hazleton, for example, or in Shenango campus or Fayette to talk about what do their local economies need in terms of workforce, what kind of programs are appropriate, what does the Commonwealth need? Shapiro's talking about 20,000 nursing vacancies. We shut down three nursing programs. But anyway, so that was the process. Well, right before phase three, which was going to be innovation and rejuvenating and finding ways to create things that were important and new ways for these campuses to be viable, that got shut down. And February 25th,
who shut that down? When you say it got shut down,
we were basically told that the process was going to be different. Just to give you, so in our February board meetings on Friday, we talked about in the morning in executive session, we talked about the data and all those things, and getting this data out in the public in the coming weeks and months to try and get people to understand the challenges we were facing. That Monday night, so you're talking 2 days later, 3 days later, we got an email with basically saying that this was down the process, it was going to be this, it was going to be the president's decision as to what happened, and that they were going to, they listed 12 campuses that were essentially on the chopping block. That's not what we left Friday thinking. So it went from the president's decision and then it was going to be the president's decision again, and then sometime in that those next couple weeks, it was going to be now be a board vote. So there was not a lot of... So from the time that February 25th happened to the time we voted, it's 107 days. And we got a 143-page report, and we were asked to vote on it after having... Initially, we're going to have about an hour and a half worth of deliberation. Then a lot of trustees said we're not comfortable with that, so we had another 2 hours. And then we had the vote last week. I mean, there's still a number of people that were that are not comfortable with what we did. And that's why you had 8 votes. There was many 13 or 14 people a couple days before the vote that had said, I think I'm going to vote no on this. Mm-hmm. But then, as what happens on this board occasionally is, board leadership starts to remind people what committees they might be on or certain things. I mean, there's politics that goes on because they certainly wanted an unanimous vote, but they weren't going to get one.
Yeah. Lots of directions to go here. Now, 8 people voted no. You were one. Yep. I didn't check this. I just thought about this like last night. And we've, can I use the word complained? We've complained about the trustees, the people that are appointed, the people that are elected. You're elected.
Yep.
Right? You're an alumni trustee, 9 of you folks.
Yep.
And they all voted.
Yep.
And how many of those 9 voted no?
4.
Just 4?
Just 4.
I guess I'm surprised.
Lebrano, Fenchek, myself, and Ted Brown were the only 4 that voted no.
So the other 5...
Yes, you had Brandon Short, Ali Krieger, Christian Hasen, Cope. Now I'm going to look like an idiot because I'm trying to think. Carl Nassib, and there's one other one now off the top of my head. I have to do the math here. But essentially 4 of us voted no on it. In fact, one trustee, Mary Lee Schneider, who's appointed or elected by the board, which may as well be appointed, she said that she didn't think the closures went far enough. I mean, you had 2 extremes. You had people didn't want to close any and wanted more time. And none of us, I mean, the reality is we were presented with 2 possibilities. We were presented with the status quo, which nobody is in favor of because it's not sustainable. So we were told either the status quo or close these 7 campuses. So if you give me an option that's not realistic and a bad option, the bad option looks pretty palatable. The truth is, you know, Chris Hoffman, who's one of our ag trustees, was eloquent, was fantastic, talked about it. Don Cairns is an ag trustee. He was absolutely adamant. Nicholas Rowland, the faculty trustee, I mean, he said some things that put tears in your eyes because he's at the Altoona campus. So we wanted more time and more options, and we wanted to give all these campuses a chance to advocate and come up with ideas, and that was just pulled out from us.
Do you understand, like, why? What would be the harm? And again, I think we are generally supportive and understanding of the situation and closing these campuses to some degree. I am troubled by the process here, and I'm also troubled by the I forget now which trustee it was that said exactly what you just said, that we're looking at this as though there's 2 options. There are other options here. Why not take a little time and explore those options? Again, none of these campuses are closing right away. It's a 2-year. So what is the answer you're being given as to, nope, we have to make this decision right now. We can't allow 3 months for people to come up with alternative ideas? Because that does seem odd to me at the very least.
Well, the main argument has been we've been kicking this can down the road, so we have to do something. Okay, well, yeah, but it doesn't have to be this. That to me is a hollow argument. That's a straw man argument. The other argument is that we're losing $40 to $50 million a year on these campuses. When you really dig into the numbers, the budget modeling changed, so we're not even sure those numbers are accurate.
Even if they are, again, yeah, my understanding
is... You're talking half a percent of your budget.
And we're going to continue to do that for the next 2 years anyway. So I'm still just not understanding.
I mean, Jeff,
why not give another 3 or 4 months and say, listen, there is some urgency here. We've got, but yes, if somebody has an idea that makes this fiscally a fiscally responsible thing to do, we'll consider it. I'm not understanding why that's not a consideration.
You're not alone in not understanding. And even questions were, what are the costs of closing these campuses? Like, we're going to have to employ people next 2 years. We're going to have to give them incentives to stay. Students are going to bail. So what are the costs of that? We don't know. What are we going to do with the real estate? We don't know. What are we, you know, there is, Commonwealth holds some of the debt on some of the buildings. How are we going to address that or rectify that? We don't know. There's a lot of we don't knows here. Well, and that's the part that a number of us were really frustrated about.
And that was one of the great frustrations. And again, I'm forgetting the trustee that presented that said, listen, we have other options. We can try to, why not do this? And what was frustrating to me, and I'm not trying to pick on him, but Carl Nassib comes out and says, you know, I appreciate your passion, but man, there's no details there. It's like, well, you've only had a few weeks to try to come up with any details, and there's not a lot of details for a 143-page report. There's still not a lot of details on just what you said as to the closing, the impact, all of the different things. So I found it odd that Carl Nassib, and again, his comment just stood out. I'm not trying to there's no details in these other plans. It's like, okay, fair enough, but there's not a lot of detail here in this plan.
Correct. And I thought Ted Brown was the one that was presenting some ideas, and Ted's been an advocate for Commonwealth campuses for as long as I've been on the board, before I even got on the board, and I thought Carl's comment was a little disrespectful and dismissive. It came across that way. He may not have meant it that way. The thing that's frustrating, disappointing, is this: there are three areas in this university where we're undergoing massive change. Number one is in research. There are a lot of challenges. You know, the federal funding, that's a major challenge. Yet we continue to invest in our research facilities because we're looking at the long game and saying we have faith that we're unique, we're different, and we're going to come through this because Penn State always has. Athletics, the business model in athletics, no one knows what it's going to be from one day to the next because of revenue sharing, all these things happening. And yet we have borrowed $700 million to put into a stadium. We have borrowed mostly money to the tune of almost $1 billion for football, for head coach's salary and facility upgrades. So why? Because we think Penn State's unique and special. Now, when it comes to this, we don't want to give the Commonwealth campuses 3 months. I mean, if you got $1 billion for football, you sure as heck can go buy another another year or so to get the Commonwealth campuses right in terms of $30 to $40 million a year. The $40 million we lose isn't even going to be the debt service that we pay in the stadium for the next 30 years. So I mean, and that's not that that's wrong. The point is, let's remember what we're here for. We are an educational institution. We are here to reach parts of the Commonwealth that need these things. The Eberle campus in Fayette, they've got things that they think they can do. The Du Bois campus, they have a wildlife management program. Mont Alto has a forestry program, and say, well, we'll just move it. Well, there's 130 something acres of pristine forestry at Mont Alto. Where are you going to put that? Harrisburg? I mean, you can't move that, some of these programs. Wilkes-Barre has the only survey engineering program in the entire state, and there is a need for survey engineers. So, again, we would like to have had more time, and there were a lot of promises made about repurposing these things.
Yes.
And those promises came a little too fast. And, so I can tell you this. We have made, those of us who voted no have made it one of our priorities to hold them to account on that, and we're going to continue to ask for updates on those things because talk is cheap, and the people of this Commonwealth deserve better than cheap talk.
All right, let's take a break right here so we don't get too far off schedule. Jay Paterno's our guest. Talk is cheap. Ironhead, that would explain a lot with this operation we're trying to run.
Yeah, come to think of it.
That would explain a lot. Thank you, Jay. That was very good. Let's quickly take a break before I pound my hand through the wall here. You're listening to Let's Talk. We'll come back with more after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The 36th annual historic Bellefonte Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Bellefonte, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BellefonteCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include
Center Communications, Inc., Five Star Chrysler, Rick Snyder's Concessions, PAMP, Premier Garage, and Clearwater Pools.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Bellefonte Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Bellefonte. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The State College Spikes 2025 season is just around the corner. The 40-game regular season home slate runs Friday, June 6th through August 28th and features three great bobbleheads honoring Paul Posluszny, Katie Schumacher Colley, and Guy Gadowski. Three Mark in the Park nights, ELGSES night on August 23rd. Enjoy fun, affordable family entertainment here in Happy Valley. For tickets, call 814-272-1711 and buy and download at statecollegespikes.com.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dotter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let's talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you, and Jay Paterno from the Penn State Board of Trustees, kind enough to take some time and join us. A lot of other directions I want to go also, but I did have a question, Jay, and I don't know if you know the answer, but one of the things that was brought up in terms of why these seven campuses were chosen for closure was the graduation rates at the campuses. Do you know how those, and this is a, I don't know the answer, so I'm not trying to set anything up. Yeah. I don't know. How are those graduation rates determined? In other words, if they leave that campus and graduate somewhere else, does that count against, like, the DuBois campus, or do you know that? Because those numbers kept getting thrown around, but there wasn't, at least I couldn't find any details on what those numbers actually meant. On the surface, yeah, they seem pretty concerning.
Well, first of all, graduation rate, there's a problem with graduation rate. That's an us problem, not a student problem. And so that to me is a cop out, number one. Number two, it's not clear how they count returning students. Do we have people that come back to get, just pick up a couple classes and aren't necessarily in degree program? That really wasn't made clear in terms of those graduation rates.
Yeah, because it was all like four, five, and maybe six years, and it's like, well, okay, but if somebody, so.
But I mean, those are things that are fixable and addressable. I mean, that to me is not the reason to close campuses. I mean, the criteria that they used, some of it was financial, some of it was the student experience, some of it was geography, some of it, so, the number of campuses, and some of it was the availability of residential housing. Like, for example, you look at the York campus. York is in one of the fastest growing areas in the entire state. Their financial numbers are really good. The drawback to them was a lack of on-campus housing for students. It's not a problem. And there are people in that community. So then you turn around and look at some other campuses. From a geographic standpoint, how do you close Du Bois? Because from here to Erie, there's nothing Penn State. So the criteria was really kind of fungible and changeable and fit, you look at New Kensington. They've invested some really good money recently into some things that are unique in getting into robotics. And Pittsburgh is a hub of robotics, and that's our one entree into that area. Mont Alto, from a geographic standpoint, you can't move that campus. And there's we just built an allied health building there within the last 5 years for a nursing program. So, I mean, there's all these different criteria that were applied seemingly haphazardly as we went from one campus to the other.
The another thing that came up that just caught my attention was when you look at the overall picture, and I think a couple of trustees did this, it's like, well, you know, we have, and we've talked about it, I mean, Penn State has an inordinate number of branch campuses compared to other comparable universities. What I just find interesting about that is we kind of seem to cherry pick where we want to be like other universities and where we don't, because if you look at some of those other universities that they were comparing Penn State to with the branch campuses, and I don't think it's an unfair comparison, but I don't hear those same trustees saying, and also look at the size of the Board of Trustees there, and they're all elected members, and they get by with like 9, and we need 35 or 36 or whatever it is. I find it interesting where, we want to be like more like these other universities here, but no, we need a massive bureaucracy of appointed trustees. I found that curious.
Well, the least favorite thing I hear people say when we talk about Penn State at the Board of Trustee meeting is we mention our peer institutions. I don't believe we have peer institutions. I don't ever want to settle for being part of a group and be aspiring to what other people do, and that's kind of what is frustrating about this is, let's have faith in our people on these campuses and give them a chance to react to these are the challenges you face and come at us with some ideas. And look, we may still have had to close campuses. I can't guarantee we would have been able to keep them all open, even with new ideas. But certainly, we would have just liked some more time to see those things. I wrote an op-ed in statecollege.com on April 18th. And my phone blew up. Chamber of Commerce is from around the state. We had a call with 15 different Chamber of Commerce representing those 12 campuses that were on the hook. Mm-hmm. We had a call with a number of faculty at all these campuses. We had a call with 25 state legislators who all wanted to know what was going on and what they could do. So, I mean, there was a lot of interest. And what they were told is we wanted to come up. They wanted to present to whoever was going to make the decision ideas. They were told to send their ideas to an email address, not that they didn't think it was right. The administration didn't want to hear these different things. You know, some of us said, well, why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we take 2 days for you got 170 years of history behind you, and this decision is going to echo out for decades and decades and decades.
No doubt.
And it doesn't hurt. I'd rather be a year late than a day early, and that's how I felt. And, there was 8 of us, but there were more than that. But I think once push came to shove and the vote had to happen, then the vote happened.
With this vote, I just want to get some clarity here, too. Are these 7 campuses, is the understanding that they are altogether closing then in 2 years, or is there any kind of a window there that, hey, we might be able to keep a program or a couple of programs open at Mount Alto, to use your one example, or is this a definitive, yes, these are all closing altogether? Because I'm still not clear. I keep seeing the repurposing.
No question.
I'm curious as to what repurposing means in this context.
Well, the next step, it has to go to the State Department of Education. So ultimately, this ball is in the governor's court right now. the governor and that Department of Education could say, hey, we don't think this is correct. You have to go back and give us a different proposal, whatever. They have to approve it.
The governor seems very supportive, though, of the closure.
Correct, but he may get polling in the next week that says, hey, if you want to win,
maybe reconsider.
It's politics. Or he may hear from some state legislators. There's some state legislators aren't real fired about giving us an appropriation now. So that's, you know, there are a lot of factors at play still you get in the politics in the budget season. But as far as the repurposing goes, that's the conversation a lot of us wanted to have before we made the decision to close. Because once you say closure, you know, you've shot the cannon. And the people in those communities and the people say, well, yeah, we're going to come up with these ideas and you close the campus anyway. And what does repurposing mean? What does it look like? Those are conversations that we could have and should have, you know, some of us feel like we should have had before this vote and come up with some ideas.
All right, Jay, I'm going to play devil's advocate. All right, because I've mentioned this before. I still think Penn State is stretched too thin. Too many campuses, some on top of each other. York, I grew up in York County, so I didn't go to Penn State York, but I'm very familiar with it. Penn State Harrisburg is right up Route 83, not very far. Wilkes-Barre, I almost went to Wilkes-Barre many decades ago. Visited the campus. Penn State Scranton, right there. Hazleton in the other direction, a little further, but right there. Four campuses in the greater Pittsburgh area. Do we really need four? And so if I'm a business and I have stores or restaurants or something, and I've got some stores or restaurants, they're not doing that well, their numbers are going down, not as many people are walking in the door, at some point the business probably says, all right, we're going to close these locations, so we're going to consolidate and move on. What's wrong with all that?
Well, number one, it's not a business. That's the one thing we keep.
I disagree.
We keep hearing, you know, if we ran this like a business, well, it is like a business to an extent. And then once we started to dig in the numbers, for example, the numbers of for tuition dollars. If you look at York, we lost $300,000 on last year based on tuition dollars. However, the state appropriation, what people realize, the state appropriation is to subsidize tuition for in-state students. So when we come talk about this $5,900 or $5,500 per student that we get from the state, we're counting out-of-state students in that number when we do the math because it makes our number look lower. That really doesn't apply to out-of-state students. So if you, we'll just keep that number because it's easy. So if you take $5,500 per student of tuition money that the state is essentially giving to us for those students, and you apply it to the students at York per student, per only in-state students, because I'm going to do it with some purity in this, all of a sudden York is now a $2.9 million profit center for us. We are not giving York students that money that the state has allocated in their budget model. And if you go across all the Commonwealth campuses, now we're not losing money in the Commonwealth campuses. If you add that in, because they're 85, the ones we were talking about closing, they're 85% in state. So their per student tuition from the state of Pennsylvania makes it a very different discussion than the one we had. But we use the numbers. You know, a lot of people say the numbers are the numbers, numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie, but the people that present them do. And can. And they frame those numbers how they want to frame them to get the argument they want. And that's kind of how some of us felt this report was kind of engineered with a conclusion and looking for supporting evidence. And the reality is the numbers aren't as bad as we thought. Number two, with an educational institution like Penn State, we probably would have ended up closing or repurposing or merging some of these under the same and found ways to cut costs. But, you know, we didn't get the opportunity to really explore what that would look like. And that came back to the process, not the outcome, but the process we felt was flawed. And going another 6 months in that process was, all we heard was, we've never had better fundraising. We're in great financial shape after the last couple of years. But this is an existential crisis because we're spending 0.4% of our budget on these Commonwealth campuses. And like I said, even that number, we're not even sure if that's accurate. So we would just like, some of us would have liked more information. But, you know, now the decision's made. We talked about repurposing. We're going to hold some people's feet to the fire and make sure we repurpose that.
Whatever that means, repurpose.
Well, We're going to, those of us that advocated for the campuses, we're going to, if they don't come up with some repurposing ideas, we're going to come up with some. Because we've had those discussions, because there are things you can do. There's continuing education type things. There are community assets there that can be used to get, you know, one of Neely's, initiatives has been Rural Health Initiative. We can create regional health hubs across the state, which would benefit Penn State Health and bring people to Penn State. There's a number of things we can do. Penn College of Technology in Williamsport, they can't produce enough graduates.
Yeah.
We have facilities now in the western part of the state that certainly can utilize, you know, could be places where that can expand. So there are a lot of different things that can happen. We're just going to make sure that we follow through.
Now, if I recall, all seven of these on the hit list, their enrollment numbers have gone, all seven have gone down. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? And significantly in a few cases.
In the last 2 years, Matt Melvin came on as the enrollment management and has done a good job. The last 2 years, our decreases in the Commonwealth campus have largely flattened because he's applied a lot of really good math and analytics and stuff to this stuff, and they've done a good job. And that's one of those things some of us feel like maybe if we give that more time to see where that goes. But, you know, we keep hearing about this demographics and the whole nine yards, which is fine. But one of the things that Matt Melvin has always told us in meetings is that demographics is not destiny. And we feel like we have something different at Penn State to offer than other people do. But, you know, again, ultimately, all of us knew the status quo was not sustainable. No one is arguing that. But given only two options, you know, some of us felt like there should have been more discussion. And when we talked about more the idea of repurposing, we felt like that should have been part of the discussion before we voted.
All right. Now, you know what the enrollment cliff is. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with that. From here on out, the number of people coming out of high school is supposed to start going down. And so when I was looking at this, I'm thinking, okay, I'm not thinking just now. I'm thinking 5, 10, 20 years from now when there's going to be fewer people going to college. Surely, Jay, that's part of this argument. If there's fewer people going to college, we can't have this many locations open.
Well, like I said, we don't know that. You know, we would have liked a different solution. But at the same time, we're saying there's less kids in the pipeline for college. We've got plans to add 10,000 students at University Park. So here, we're arguing one way in one situation and arguing another way in another situation. And, you know, one of the things that kept coming up was the student experience. You know, we're not giving them a good student experience like they would have at University Park. Well, all the emails I got from April 18th to the vote from students was, I love the smaller campus. I love having the Penn State name behind it. But I can't, you know, I got an email about a student at the Fayette campus who walks three and a half miles from a professor each way to school every day. When we close that campus, that student can't walk to Greater Allegheny. It's impossible. So there's a mission that we have. We just felt like there needed to be more time. But again, the decision's been made. It's full speed ahead. But with the repurposing and our commitment to those parts of the state, we're going to hold some people's feet to the fire to make sure we do that. And we're going to make sure that things like ag extension don't then become, well, we don't need ag extension in all 67 counties, or we don't need ag, you know, a little bit of mission creep and a little bit of slippery slope if we start turning our back on some of the parts of this Commonwealth that made this Commonwealth great.
Well, and how reliant, when we look at the future projections for University Park, have you seen numbers in terms of how reliant we being the Penn State community, are becoming on international students coming in versus, again, it is a state university.
Yep.
In name, maybe becoming a name only, but yep. I mean, it is supposed to be Pennsylvania State University. Nobody's arguing that we don't want international students, but how much of a reliance, especially as we start looking toward the future here, and in particular University Park, have you seen numbers, projections as to the percentage, I guess, of international students that are going to make up this camp?
Right now, I think we're 11 or 12% international, if memory serves me right. It's in excess of 10%. I think it's 11 or 12. That is a great unknown right now,
okay.
From in a very short term, because when you look at what's happening with the current administration, whether you like it or not, there is certainly a decided rhetoric about international students and those kind of things. So, I think that's scaring some people off. I was just on a phone conversation yesterday with a guy from the UK, and he said, we're going to see a massive influx of international students in Canada and the UK and those places because a lot of people are hesitant to come to the United States because they're not sure if I go home for the holidays, do I get back in? So that's the immediate uncertainty. How long is there long lasting damage to that to come to the United States? I think our surplus, the trade, quotes, trade surplus as it relates to higher ed is plus $43 billion in this country. So when you look at Penn State with the kind of numbers we're doing, it's a lot of money there. And I think our students here benefit from that interaction with international students as well. So hopefully we can continue on that path in a reasonable, sustainable way.
All right, we got to take a quick break right here. Our guest is Jay Paterno. When we come back, we'll have a couple of minutes left to maybe do some closing questions and so on. Let's talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come back after this.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include
Geisinger, Central Pennsylvania Institute of Science and Technology, East End Sales, Wise Market, Belfont Elks Lodge 1094, and Jerry Snyder's Concessions.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dotter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Fox Sports.
Oh,
What were the odds we'd get into a food discussion during the break? Well, it's what we do.
Well, it's the Iron Head.
It is. Let's talk. Final segment, just a couple of minutes remaining here. You want to take it, Mr. Geezy?
All right. Let's reiterate, because I think we've only got like a minute and a half or something. What happens now?
Well, what happens now is the Department of Education and the governor's office has to approve the plan. And then there's 2 years of kind of winding these things down, and no one's exactly sure what that means or what that's going to look like and what that means for the students. We're trying to, you know, the administration's doing a good job of trying to contact these students, help them through, but we'll see what happens.
Can I let's just theoretically, again, it doesn't look promising right now for your side that the Department of Education or the governor is going to put the brakes on this. But if they don't approve, what happens? This just gets completely tossed aside?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I mean, again, like I said, you never in politics, you never know. You could have the right state senator say Penn State's not going to get their money. Because remember, we have to get two-thirds of the Senate to approve the money. And hopefully it doesn't happen because we need that appropriation.
I mean, yeah,
store.
There's been stories about some affected state lawmakers saying, hey, Penn State, you come asking us for money, we're not going to be so friendly this time. Something along those lines. You expecting that to happen?
Well, I think you'll hear some of that rhetoric. Now, whether or not it really happens, and I, you know, one of the things I think that we don't realize is we're not the good guys anymore. Higher education, for whatever reason, has taken a beating in terms of PR. And there are a lot of people that think, you know, well, you guys have been living high on the hog. I mean, and the reality is, you know, we could be leaner, there's no question, but we're also doing some great things for the Commonwealth.
Jay, thank you for the time.
Love being here, guys.
Love having you.
Next time you come back, remember.
But make sure it's a Wednesday and I'll pick up donuts.
And Wednesday donuts.
And remember that it's Wednesday.
Stay dry, folks.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.